Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of a high intelligence. And Ken Davis is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's our holiday guy. He's the guy who's been joining us now for a long, long time, especially on some of the big days of the year to bring us up to date on what's the truth and what are the myths about some of these days. And we're going to talk a little bit about this holiday we're in right now and the Christmas holiday, but also, you know, it's Hanukkah too for my Jewish friends, for our Jewish folks out there. This is Hanukkah, and so we got a lot of things to talk about with our good buddy Ken Davis. Ken is the author of Don't Know Much About History. That's his flagship book, but he also has written one on mythology, also America's Hidden History, which is his newer one, and it is outstanding. And he's our good friend Ken Davis. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. I guess I'm like that bad penny that keeps turning up.
You just keep coming back. That's exactly right.
It's good to have you. For punishment, I don't know.
You sure? Well, thank you so much, Ken. That makes me feel so much better now. So this is also the week that Jews celebrate Hanukkah.
Absolutely. You know, Hanukkah is keyed into the lunar calendar.
Right. Now it started on Monday, didn't it?
Monday was the first day of Hanukkah. It actually started the evening before. So,
right.
Yes, we're well into it. 8 days of Hanukkah, and it commemorates a very significant event in Israel's history, early history. We're talking about a time about 160 years before the birth of Christ. Alexander the Great's empire had just broken up. The various kings around his empire started to take pieces of it. And in Syria, there were some Greek kings who then invaded Israel. They took over the temple in Jerusalem, converted it into a temple in honor of Zeus. And eventually the Jewish people rebelled through these, they were called the Seleucid kings. They threw them out and then had to rededicate, reconsecrate the temple in Jerusalem, the holiest site, of course, in Israel, or as it was known at that time, Judea. The story goes that they only had relight a sacred lamp, an eternal flame that was supposed to be kept kindled, that burned on olive oil, sacred olive mm-hmm. oil, and there was only enough oil for one night. Yet miraculously, the lamp continued to burn for 8 nights, which was enough time to put some more oil and consecrate it so there would be sufficient oil. So this is the miracle of the lamp, and the miracle and Hanukkah became established as the festival of lights. So the menorah, which is the traditional candle holder, has 8 candles, and then one in the center that's set a little bit higher. That's called the shamash. I might be mispronouncing that, forgive me. And that is used to light the other 8 candles. And it's, you know, in many ways, like Christmas, it is a celebration of light, of hope, of renewal, of the sense of bringing new life to the world. And that's what a lot of the celebrations around the world at this time of year tend to be about. Mm-hmm. We're talking about, of course, Christmas being related back to very old celebrations
right.
of the winter solstice, which also occurred on Monday, by the way.
I want to get to that in a minute, but I was going to drop in a couple of quick stories. Whenever I say Happy Hanukkah to my Jewish friends, they always say thank you, and then invariably they remind me, oh, but it's not a major holiday for us. And here's what I've decided why they always say that. because they know how what a cool holiday Christmas is with all the presents and everything. And I've decided that they want to be invited over to my Christmas, to my house for Christmas. See, because they always say, "Oh, it's not a big deal for us." Like you know, we're not. It's not that big a party. Yours is better. Can I come over? So that's what I tell my Jewish friends. That's what they're working on. But another quick story. A Jewish friend of mine grew up in a neighborhood not far from me. And his family decorated for Hanukkah every year. And one day the community, which was mostly non-Jewish, went around to all the neighborhoods picking the best decorated house for Christmas.
Right.
And guess which one won? His house won. They bring back the results back to the city hall, and somebody, the mayor or somebody, said, "Oh, you didn't know that's the so-and-so family. They're Jewish." So the Jewish family celebrating for Hanukkah won the Christmas light celebration. So that's a pretty funny story. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about more of these issues, more about the holidays, especially Christmas, right after these messages. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Thanks for joining me. Ken Davis is our guest. He's the author of Don't Know Much About History and many other books, including his new one, which is America's Hidden History. Those are available wherever books are sold. Don'tknowmuchabout.com, too, right? Right, Ken?
It's don'tknowmuch.com.
Oh, okay. Don't know much. Leave the about out, folks.
Leave the about out.
That's a special website. That's a special website he's given me. Only I can use that one. Don'tknowmuch.com.
And I won't sell you anything there. There's no no sales pitches, no advertising. Yeah. It's just a fun place to go, especially for the kids with my children's books. They'll find some interesting stuff there and point you to the place to buy the books.
Don'tknowmuch.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Ken, the choosing of the day of Christmas in December, the way it has been done, it goes back for almost a couple of millennia, doesn't it?
It really began in the 400s under Pope Julian, this relates back to the fact that, of course, when Christianity began in Rome in particular, it was an outlawed religion. You didn't practice it openly, or if you did, you'd end up as one of Nero's torches,
right,
perhaps. For hundreds of years, Christians practiced either secretly or at least not with it in the open. But then in the year 300, Emperor Constantine converts to Christianity, becomes the official religion of the Roman Empire, and so by the year 400, the Pope was powerful enough to make decisions like what day Christmas would be celebrated. Now, the importance of the date in ancient Rome was that it was the date of the winter solstice, December 25th.
It was a practical choice, wasn't it?
Well, it was for the Pope, and it was great marketing. And your audience understands marketing. I'm not saying this in a glib or facetious way.
No, no.
The Pope was able to say, "You are celebrating a holiday, and you have wonderful customs. You sing songs, and you light candles, and you give gifts, and you free the slaves for a week. But you're doing it for the wrong reason. We're not celebrating the return of the sun god, whether it's Sol Invictus or Mithra or any of a number of other gods of light that the Romans celebrated. We are celebrating the real light that comes into the world with the birth of the Savior." And so he was able to take this pagan ceremony and rituals and traditions, which people loved, but give it a Christian meaning. And that's why, you know, 600 years later, we're still doing it. It was very effective marketing.
But the thing is, the reason I say it was practical and pragmatic was because and discretion being the better part of valor, he chose a day that if his subjects were going to now worship one god instead of many gods, that would be the perfect day to substitute that for, so they wouldn't have two different days that they might lapse into. But the other thing is the solstice is a date that the ancients marked. It was one of the four big days of their calendar.
Oh, it's absolutely
that was a way of not losing the date, right?
I mean, absolutely, and it is really a powerful day. Especially, you have to think about a world lit only by candles. You know, we're not
right.
talking about a world of electric lights and other lights or gas lamps. This was a world in which darkness was real, and particularly it was one thing in Rome. But if you go into the Scandinavian countries where the Norse lived, the Germanic countries, mm-hmm. winter, the solstice is the shortest day of the year. It's cold,
right.
It's dark, it's long.
Anything to celebrate is good, right?
That's right. But they understood, well, this wasn't the end of things. This was the beginning, that the days were going to get mm-hmm. longer. So in a sense, it was for the pagan people before Christianity, it was a day to celebrate, because it was a day of the light returning, which meant hope, new life, renewal
right.
of all these things. And of course, that's the message for Christians of Christmas. So it
right.
made perfect sense to attach one
Absolutely.
Thing to the other. And the early church fathers understood this, not only about Christmas, but a great many other pagan traditions and rituals that got brought into things like Easter or other holidays.
Right.
To try and suppress people's celebrations is not a smart idea.
That's
but if
the
you
practical.
Can tell people you can have this celebration, celebrate it for the right reason, and that's what Christianity was able to do,
and
successfully.
That's the practical part, because no one really knows when Christ was born. But talk to us about that tradition of bringing green things into the house.
Again, this is something.
Boughs of holly.
This predates Christianity by centuries, if not mm-hmm. thousands of years. We have the Greeks used evergreen to celebrate victory. Of course, it was green as a symbol of life. It's the symbol of growing things. The Romans actually hung wreaths, evergreen wreaths. And I mentioned
Wasn't it also a way of sort of they thought it was sort of preserving the agricultural elements, preserving the green for when the deciduous trees would come back out again. Was it,
absolutely.
Or was it,
absolutely.
And also just a way of trying to get rid of maybe a little depression, just to be able to see something
absolutely.
Green.
You know, we see something green, and we see a Christmas tree in the house. It makes us feel everything else. I'm looking out in New York. I mean, all the other trees are bare
right.
and look dead and barren, and then we have these beautiful green evergreen
see, that's,
trees.
That's the reason why I never liked the white ones and the silver ones.
I'm with you on that. But, you know, this specifically, the Christmas tree, comes from this Norse tradition that I was talking about, where they really felt how cold and dark and dead everything was. But there were
right.
the evergreen trees. Now, what happened with
Ken, hold on to that thought. We've got to take a quick
okay.
break. Folks, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about mistletoe. And about how when I was a young man, I tried to use it all year long and it didn't work. Stay with us, 10 till.
Oh, mirror in the sky, what is love?
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. My knowledge base is AskJim.biz. My blog is JimsBlog.biz. But if you'll just remember SmallBusinessAdvocate.com, that'll get you to where you can find all the things that we do, including my blog, including our knowledge base, including the ability to subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes every Sunday afternoon by email, gets you ready for the week ahead. And don't forget all the other things you can do there at SmallBusinessAdvocate.com. Ken Davis is our guest, and he's all over our website. He's been with us many times, deposited many bits of wisdom with us over the years. Ken, you're going to be on the Today Show tomorrow, aren't you?
I'll be on the Today Show tomorrow through the magic of television. I'll be in two places at one time. Yeah, no, we taped this. It's an interesting little segment about some of the holiday traditions that we've been discussing here, and I'll be on with Matt and Meredith. And
good.
So it's
Well, I'm sure they will. I know people will enjoy seeing you there. Ken, Ken Davis and I are talking about the history of Christmas and other elements or other issues around this day and this time, this season. Mistletoe, Ken, when I was When I was a young lad, when I was a teenager, I thought mistletoe was a pretty cool little device there, you know.
Hanging it up there and trying to get that kiss, huh?
Well, I didn't hang it anywhere. I kept it in my hand where I always had it at the ready, you know. And I had the great idea that I thought, you know, if this is good in December, why wouldn't this work in May or June? And, you know, but for some reason, I didn't get away with that. So that little experiment didn't work. But Ken, you're a city boy, aren't you?
I am a city boy.
Do you know how to go out and get mistletoe?
Well, I know. Well, I have a feeling you're going to tell me.
No. I thought maybe you might know.
Oh, it is a parasite that grows on oak trees.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons it got connected to holidays, and one of the reasons that the Puritans didn't like it. I'll tell that story quickly.
Uh-huh.
The Celtic people that inhabited the British Isles, Ireland, they had the priests known as the Druids, and the Druids thought mistletoe was a sacred plant because it grew on the oak tree, which
right.
is sacred.
And it grows very high up in the top of the oak tree.
That's right. There are actually pictures, ancient pictures of the Druids actually cutting down the mistletoe. They thought it had miraculous powers. They called it All Heal. They thought it was so powerful, in fact, that if strangers met in the woods and mistletoe was nearby, they would exchange a greeting instead of drawing their swords.
And that's now, where the kiss came from.
It was there's another story that and the two things get merged together, but this was seen as such a powerful symbol of paganism in England. They understood this,
wow.
and it was so powerful that they wouldn't allow mistletoe to be hung in churches for hundreds of years. It was a long
time
before.
I'd be darned.
But the other story, though, that's more closely connected to the kissing comes from the Norse countries, the Vikings. For them, there's a story about...
Always known as great lovers, by the way.
The Vikings were great lovers. Cold and dark, you have to,
That's right.
A lot of snuggling up there.
A lot of snuggling, that's right.
So for them, the mistletoe relates to a story in which the god of light was killed by somebody who throws a poisoned dart of mistletoe and it strikes him in the eye and kills him.
Mm.
His mother, the dead god's mother, is bereft. But instead of cursing the mistletoe, she decides to rule that it will become a symbol of affection, a token of affection ever after. So the merging of these two, the Anglo and the Saxon legends, give us the mistletoe. And, of course, it is green.
Well, all I was going to say, Ken, was when I was a kid growing up on the farm, I went out into the woods with a shotgun, and would shoot up into the mistletoe and it'd fall down the ground. That's how I got mistletoe.
Oh, well, you see, you weren't a druid priest. You didn't know that you had to go up and climb.
When I was 10, I would have climbed up there, but as I got older, I decided the shotgun was a better tool. Ken, we got one last minute. Tell us all you can tell us in 1 minute about Christmas.
Okay, well, all of these symbols, the greens of the flowers, the poinsettia, the holly, the ivy, they have green. Many of them have red as well. The green is the symbol of life, again, an ancient pagan idea, but the red introduced as a symbol of the blood of Christ. All of them are about hope, bringing light into the world, and, you know, whether you're celebrating Hanukkah or Christmas, that's what this season is about in many ways. It's mm-hmm. celebrating the return of the hope for the return of life, and I think this year, more than in a long time, we all could use a little hope and hope for renewal. So
absolutely.
I guess that's the holiday message I'm bringing today.
I like that, Ken. Good job. I knew I could count on you today. Thank you so much for being here. It's always a pleasure. And let's have a good 2009 together. What do you think?
Let's pull together for a great 2009. Very, very Merry Christmas and happy,
you too.
Safe, healthy New Year to everyone. Thank you,
Thank you,
bye-bye.
Ken. You too. See you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, wishing you a very safe and happy holiday. But don't go away. I'm going to be back on the other side of the news. I've got one more hour today at least.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.